Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come to email us at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com or visit ForgottenFailuresCast.com.
As we ride along through the countryside, we're keeping our peepers open wide, looking to find where she may hide, the beautiful gnome for Jasper's bride.
In the gnome-mobile, the gnome-mobile, we're hunting for gnomes in the gnome-mobile. Sooner or later we feel that we'll
find where she is in the gnome-mobile. Oh, the gnome-mobile is a grand machine, the like of which I have never seen.
But you're going too fast, you big Eugene. When I look where I'm going, that's where I've been.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm also Mike.
I'm Daryl.
And I'm also Mike.
Mike 3.
I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Forgotten Failures podcast.
Forgotten Favorites edition.
That's right. This is the second in our series of Forgotten Favorites. That is movies that one of us remembers liking as a kid and hasn't seen in many years and wanted to watch to see if it still holds up and to see what anybody else might think of it.
And this week we watched one of Mike D's Forgotten Favorites. And that is
the Gnome Mobile.
The Gnome Mobile. The Gnome Mobile.
Hunting
for gnomes in the Gnome Mobile.
In the Gnome Mobile.
Disappointing. There was no actual hunting for gnomes that went on in this Gnome Mobile.
Yeah, the only person who got shot with a gun was a human by a gnome.
Yeah.
So we watched the Gnome Mobile, which is one of Mike D's favorite movies from childhood that he hadn't seen in a while. It's a Disney movie. It was actually the last movie that Walt Disney had a hand in actually producing. Yeah. Which is interesting. There's a lot of forced perspective.
Be that an icy cold hand from his cryogenic chamber.
Yep.
Just the same.
Yep.
Yes. Apparently one of Walt Disney's friends had been insisting that he should turn this into a movie since like the late 30s when it was written.
It was a book.
When it was in the original Gnomemobile novel was written by Upton Sinclair.
You know.
Upton.
who we mostly know for writing incredibly serious muckraking journalism and running for governor of California as a socialist a few times.
Oh, wow.
This was his, I think, only children's book.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll be shocked to know that there's not any scenes of gnomes falling down like huge grinding pits and being made into sausage, unfortunately.
No, there's very little political
sausage
content
gnomes?
In
yep,
here.
Sausage gnomes.
Sausage gnomes.
Mike, since Mike D, since this is your movie and since you've been doing the breakdowns, I think that it's appropriate that you do what I'm now coining the Mike D Break D.
I don't remember
where Mike has 1 minute
about this new name for it.
Well, it was in our Facebook chat. So
Mike D Break D.
If you didn't see it, you didn't see it.
Break it down.
So you have a minute and 30 seconds or 90 seconds total.
That shouldn't be too hard.
To give us the plot of the movie.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Go.
Okay. DJ Mulrooney, played by Walter Brennan, is a lumber tycoon, but also a conservationist who hates cutting down trees. His two grandchildren are over from England, and they go for a picnic. And the little grandchild girl finds a gnome in the forest. The gnome says, "Where are all the female gnomes? You need to help me, humans. I've looked everywhere." So they promise him that they'll drive him around in the gnome mobile to look for female gnomes. But when they get to a hotel, there's a young man gnome and his grandfather, Nobby, also played by Walter Brennan. They both get kidnapped in a picnic basket by the owner of a freak show. So he takes them along to, I guess, some sort of trailer park. It got kind of scary at this point. They're followed by Walter Brennan and his grandchildren, and they say, and they just try to find the gnomes. There's a lot of car chases. They eventually find Rufus the gnome pimp in a different part of the woods. He seems to control all the female gnomes, and he sets, and when the young male gnome, Jasper, gets to meet Rufus the gnome pimp, Rufus immediately sets up a competition between all the female gnomes to see who can marry Jasper. And this takes the last, like, 15 minutes of the movie. It's very psychedelic and freaky. There's a lot of bubbles flowing around and rainbows and everything. And there's only one song in the movie, unfortunately, but you hear it many, many times. And there's also the long sequence when the old man is put in a loony bin and they have to saw him out using a saw.
Three, two.
But he gets out of the loony bin and he helps the kids and drives away again.
Well done.
Fair enough.
All right.
That didn't need 90 seconds.
Well, it did. He used all 90 seconds.
Yeah, it was exactly 90 seconds. That
well,
was
you guys
badass.
Weren't saying anything until the beep went off. So
yeah, well, that's what we do. It's the Mike D Break D, man.
Yeah, we've never said anything during
the Mike D
minute
Break
and 30 seconds.
Trademark.
So I should probably also describe my personal history with the movie.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. What's your history?
What did you remember going into it
Okay, well,
before watching it again.
What was the context in which you watched this? What was your life like?
Oh, well, this was one of many things that we got sent to us on VHS by my mom's cousin Charlotte, who lived in Florida and had access to the Disney Channel.
Ah.
So I don't know.
And Disney World.
Now, a couple of you guys are a little younger than me, so you may have grown up in a world where the Disney Channel was everywhere, but it was very rare, as far as I could tell when I was a kid.
I was the same. The Disney Channel was around, but we didn't have it.
So I knew, one kid who had the Disney Channel. And we went over to his house, and we could watch...
The block.
Yeah, that's right. You could watch the Gummy Bears at his house, which seemed like the most elite cartoon.
That was a sweet show.
You know what show I used to love was the live-action Winnie the Pooh?
Costumes? That was crazy.
No.
That show was crazy.
Never heard of that.
Oh, man, it was awesome.
Yeah, so my mom's cousin Charlotte lived in Florida, and she would send me these great things on videotape, and one of them was the Gnome-mobile. So towards the end of fifth grade, we had a substitute teacher for basically the entire year, and by early April, she had just run out of things to say. So she just asked all the kids to bring in movies for the kids to watch just about every day.
What grade is this?
I think it was fifth grade. This was a social studies class, so you don't learn much in there.
No, you really don't.
Yeah, I agree.
So the normal social studies teacher had some sort of hip surgery, so we had a very, very young student teacher for the entire year. Movie that I brought in was The Gnome-mobile.
How did kids respond to this movie?
Well, let's see. Most of the kids brought in things that were less than 15 years old. Like, let's say you're Ghostbusters, or Indiana Jones, or
Uncle Buck.
Your uncle's Buck.
Or Striptease.
You're Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's the thing.
Classic. Deep Throat.
I come in with this movie from 1966 that nobody, not even the teacher, has heard of.
Well, to be fair, I had never heard of it.
Me neither.
I have a coworker who is in her 50s and who is super into Disney, goes there multiple times a year to Disney World and Land, and is going on a Disney Europe trip. She had never heard of this movie. Well, she was like, I've never heard of that one. And I was like, this is a Disney movie.
Be into the live action stuff.
No, she's into it all.
Oh, wow.
She's into all.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Get down.
I mean, if I had brought in...
this is obscure.
If I had brought in the Shaggy Dog or the That Darn Cat or the...
Those are recognizable.
Herbie the Love Bug or the Absent Minded Professor or the Ugly Dachshund.
No, you're just naming movies.
Yeah, you want to just keep going?
There are so many other Disney live action movies that probably, at least the teacher would have known what they were. But
Yeah,
so as soon as the movie started, it was very similar to the scene in The Simpsons when the toy company is asking all the kids to bring in what they think is the best toy so they can get ideas.
Yeah.
And Milhouse brings in this baby doll.
Yeah.
And as soon as he starts talking about the baby doll, he starts realizing, oh, I made a mistake.
So this was embarrassing.
So it was very similar when we put on the Gnome-mobile.
See, it was just because your fifth grade sensibilities weren't able to pick up on the harem of gnomes. And
I don't think we even got to the end when there were a bunch of hot babes running around.
I'm sure all of your peers are just sitting there staring at you thinking we could be watching Ghostbusters right now.
Oh man, that's brutal.
Ghostbusters 2.
But you still love this
movie. Cool World.
You still love this movie.
Well, it was a little better than I expected on second watch.
It was
or multiple
very good.
Watch.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It wasn't that great. I mean, the end didn't end very well.
I could have enjoyed this more if it weren't for some weird pitch problems.
Okay, yeah.
The noise was grating to me. Yeah, I don't know if that's because
it was on VHS. Lindsay, because it's only 1966. I'm sorry, sound wasn't perfect.
I actually have that as one of my least favorite parts of the movie was Grandpa Gnome.
Yeah. God, you elitist
his
film.
His name was
geez.
Nobby.
Nobby. Nobby the Grandpa Gnome.
There's a couple of
audio
files over here. Can't stand it.
It was just
audio file.
It sounded like a pig squeal for about a minute
really
straight.
Annoying. The Grandfather Gnome, played by Walter Brennan.
Just yells.
He is his extreme old coot level.
Yeah, terrible.
Everything he says is "Rail me, doggone it, I can't believe you!" And at one point
female gnomes.
At one point they're watching the news, and it's redwood trees, and he's like, oh, yeah, redwood trees, I'll watch them. And then they start cutting down the redwood trees, and he just starts squealing and
writhing around. Imagine that over and over again.
That only went on for 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Felt like a goddamn eternity.
Five minutes of gnome squealing.
And there's a lot of gnome squealing. Gnome squealing is the most common sound. It's actually over speech.
There being not that many gnomes. Here's the disappointing thing.
Great bulk of the movie, there are only two gnomes.
The disappointing thing of this movie is that it makes you believe that it's a fantasy story. And it kind of is. But
it's about
gnomes. They're in the Redwood Forest. And I would have thought, because in the very beginning, there are animatronic animals, forest animals. There's a raccoon, two birds, there's three birds. Does the deer talk? I don't think the deer talks. Talk.
The raccoon talks. Yeah. The two Stellar's Jays talk. Stellar's. And then there's the owl.
Yeah.
So we have these animals, and you think it's going to be like a forest fantasy where they're like the family's in the forest and they're doing forest things because that's fun. You know, that's a fantasy. Oh. But no, what they do is they go into the forest. They extract they extract the fantastical things out of the forest and take them into a fucking car.
Yeah,
and then just drive around. Like modern,
it's a 1930 Rolls Royce.
Yeah, it's a sweet car.
Yeah, they AKA just, but they just drive. Yeah, they just drive around modern day California up and down the coast up to Seattle,
Northern
but not
California.
Really.
The
grandfather is like middle California. It's right outside of
San Francisco.
Grandfather
says, "I've got to go up to Seattle."
Seattle.
Yeah. But yeah, it's disappointing in the lack of fantasy in a fantasy movie, that and the lack true. Of like gnomes, because when we are introduced to these gnomes, there are only two, and they believe that they're the last gnomes.
Yeah.
Because there was all their stuff was cut down. All the woods and stuff. And by the way, old Gramps, Gramps Maloney.
His name is Nobby.
No, Gramps Maloney or whatever his fucking name is.
Oh, yeah, the actual grandpa.
DJ Muldooney.
Yeah, Muldooney.
Muldooney.
Yeah, he is a lumber tycoon. Yeah. So he's the
immigrant
person
from Ireland.
He's the person who is responsible for the deforestation of these gnomes' homeland.
And the slaughter
he's
like the CEO. Innocent gnomes.
Yeah, he's really two-faced because he has this whole conversation with Nobby where he's like, I hate those people who cut down those trees indiscriminately as well.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't reveal that he is a lumberman who apparently cuts down trees not indiscriminately.
Yeah. Mm. But his grandkids are, you know, giving him the, but Grandpa, you're the one who cuts down their home.
I don't know.
You're such a dick.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, or just, I don't know if it was just, I don't know if it's interesting or if they just like they just gave up and didn't even care.
We'll be the judge of whether it's interesting.
So when we're introduced to the first gnome, Jasper, he's like the main gnome. He's looking for love because there aren't any female gnomes around, and he's just looking for that female.
He's a young athletic guy with a southern accent.
Yeah,
and he's a gnome.
A really southern accent in California,
but he's speaking gnomish, so it's all good.
Well, that's the thing. Is it
very similar to English?
The little girl finds him in the woods because he decides, oh, I can trust her.
Yeah.
So he makes himself appear to her. And they're talking, and the little girl's like, wait a minute, how do you know English? Because she's not that dumb. She is, but she's not that dumb in that moment. And he's like, what are you talking about? What's English? She's like, that language that we're speaking. And he's like, oh, I was just wondering how you're speaking gnomish. So somehow, these two languages have developed side by side and are pretty much exactly the same.
Well, do you think
it's like Rigelian with Kang and Kodos on The Simpsons.
I was going to say, do you think that at one time humans and gnomes were one species and then they split and the gnome just kept getting smaller and smaller?
Maybe.
Yeah,
probably.
Sparrows evolved from dinosaurs.
They seem to be somewhat familiar with people. They have names for them.
They don't use guns and they recognize basic human amenities that they never use, ever.
Yeah. They know all about humans.
Yeah, they have at least two names for them. We're not sure which one's the slur and which one's the technical term, but they call
biggins
them
is the slang term.
Probably.
Biggins. Yeah, biggins.
They call people, regular people, Dudians?
Yeah, Dudines.
Dudines.
Now, apparently the original
a group of them is Dudians.
Apparently the Upton Sinclair novel was full of stupid words like that. Like the gnomes all had names
some
like Bobo
shit.
And Globo and things like that.
Yeah.
In the movie they just gave them normal humans.
The slang term for humans that the gnomes have in gnomish is biggins.
Yeah. That's a little offensive.
Yeah.
Well, especially
as a human, I as a human. Don't want to hear that word anymore.
Plus, it was Al Bundy's choice of a
porn magazine.
Porn magazine, that's the word.
Yeah.
That's where they got it from.
Yeah. Yeah,
in the future.
Well, that's because, have you seen the titties on human women? Those are some biggins.
Those are some biggins.
That explains it.
Yep, it's the etymology of that word.
Solve that mystery.
Yeah,
Put that one in the box.
And the mystery of where gnomes come from.
Yeah.
So the next time you see a gnome, you tell them that, hey, we're not so different after all.
Yeah.
So we're actually just an evolutionary divergence.
Yeah.
So are we to believe that the gnomes just live in the redwood forests of California?
A bigger question, are we, if the gnomes are just another, like,
there are
species,
no bigger questions. Those are the biggest trees on Earth.
No, there's a bigger question than this. If the gnomes are just like an offshoot, they've developed and they're basically humans but smaller.
Yeah, okay. Like centaurs.
So
we're back to evolutionary biology again.
Yeah. Are we in the same universe then as the society universe where there is a separate species?
People. Yeah, there's different species of people type things.
Yeah, like a monster species. Because, right? I mean, if it's possible in the gnome world.
Well, it's possible in our world. There's the reptilians who control the world.
That's true.
Queen of England and all those people.
That's true. I just wanted to make sure that there were
old men. But
so does that mean that the grandpa tycoon might be a slug?
He's an Illuminati.
I think he is a slug.
I think he might be a slug.
I think he's the leader of society.
I think he's
higher ranked than the one snail guy.
He
doesn't seem snooty. I mean, he doesn't talk down to his servants or anything.
That's his cover.
He respects all men, even gnomes.
Even gnomes.
That's the one thing. One thing. Like, there's one thing wrong with this movie.
That's the one thing.
That's another thing. The grandpa.
The tycoon.
Buys this like hook line. So he's in it. He sees a gnome, he's like, you know what? Okay, gnomes exist.
Well,
whatever.
He's been telling these tales about how like back in Ireland, or
yeah, with
something
leprechauns.
Or something
with
leprechauns.
So that's
so
different.
At first, he sees the gnome and he's like, oh yeah, a leprechaun. Like,
no,
what?
He doesn't. He says it's a gnome.
Oh yeah, but that's because the little girl has introduced them as gnomes before.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did at one point call
him a leprechaun.
Yeah, yeah.
But before this time, he had spent 50-60 years being a logical, rational human being, realizing that no one else thinks that like gnomes exist or leprechauns exist.
Logical.
Like, he lived in this world where no one else, like, people don't go around believing these things.
Yeah, there were no gnomes in his world.
Think about how you live your life right now, and then imagine if gnomes existed.
So, as
a hard-headed man of business like DJ Muldooney, I don't think it would change my life at all.
No, and so far, it's fine that he believes in it because he's seen it. Like, it's fine. But at some point, these gnomes get kidnapped, and he calls his like underlings to report this to them, and just reports it as fact.
Yeah, yeah.
That these gnomes that he knows got kidnapped. No background. Like,
it doesn't even enter his mind that they might not be aware that gnomes exist.
Yeah,
even though he wasn't aware until a couple days ago.
He's exited that world so quickly that he can't think, wait a minute, they're going to think I'm a lunatic and send me to a loony bin.
Yeah. Which they do.
They do, because that's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because,
I don't
understand
it.
Tell your underlings, yes, my gnomes are lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Well, first we have the hilarious scene where he's like, they're kidnapped. I don't know where they are. They're kidnapped. And his underling says, oh no, the children are kidnapped.
Who's
said anything about children?
Yeah,
the gnomes are kidnapped.
Because that's a ridiculous
thing. Gnomes! Gnomes!
Oh, ridiculous.
Logic.
That is good humor for a 10-year-old. I liked it.
Mike is a 10-year-old. Yeah.
You know, the best humor that I remember this scene. After watching the scene, I think this is the only thing that I remember being really funny as a 10-year-old. He was in the booby hatch, and the kid was like, nobody snores like grandfather. So that's how he knew which room it was in. And the orderly sitting outside the room hears the grandfather's thunderous snoring. And then the kid wakes up the grandfather by throwing a hammer at him.
Yeah.
And he wakes up, and then he stops snoring. And so then the kid induces the grandfather that they should both, like, pretend to be snoring as loudly as possible.
While they're hacksawing open the...
And, yes, so the snoring starts to meld with the metal cutting sound. And the orderly is just like, oh, man, this guy's really snoring.
Can we take a second to talk about this kid, both kids? And
let's break it down.
Kids are billed as the Mary Poppins kids because they
because
are the
Mary
Poppins,
Poppins
kids.
But the, boy kid was...
You probably don't
remember
the boy being nearly as shit-faced as
he was drunk off his
movie.
Ass. And he had way too much skin. Like, it was all just droopy.
He looked like an old man.
He has a glazed look on his face.
Yeah.
In fact, Nobby looks way younger. I mean,
and he's supposed to be over 900 years old.
Like, if you slap a beard on the kid... He would look like Nobby.
He looks tired. Like, he...
Drunk, like wine tired.
Yeah, like wine tired, like, but like then also
a
his
combination
face
of Gandalf
is just
and the Crypt Keeper. Yeah.
The thing is, he's also like always wearing a suit throughout the movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's just
really
like he's like mini corrupt businessman. Type
and he keeps
and his
eyes like,
are just
he's
droopy,
very Ferguson Darling
and like unfocused. Like, he doesn't look at anyone's face. Just kind of like mouth half open with a Walkman
up to
his ear. Yes.
Yeah. He talks really slow like that. Like,
yeah,
grandfather.
Yeah, it's probably all those rubber sandwiches.
Yeah. The rubber sandwiches.
Yeah, at the beginning in the forest in the picnic, he is having real trouble eating whatever food he has in his hand.
Yeah, it looked like a simple ham and cheese or something like that, but it was
as well as been made of rubber bands and
it was like pulling when he was biting it.
Yeah,
pot roast or something.
Pot roast.
Or is that just a really well done beef brisket
type of food?
It's really.
I'm sticking to some rum ham.
Rum ham.
I mean, he starts out drunk and he just doesn't sober
up. He drives drunk at one point.
Yeah, he drives.
Yes, he actually drives drunk.
Yeah. That was
you figure if you're going to drive underage, you might as well do it while drunk.
That was one of my favorite
parts. When the kids are driving?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. When the kids were driving, and not only are they driving, but this is a stick shift.
Yep.
And they're moving
the
gears.
The 1930s.
So there's a girl. The girl gets on the ground because obviously he can't reach the pedals and steer.
Yeah. So she's down there.
And
she's
his
down
line
there.
And
yeah.
Taking orders.
So she's so she's down there and she's pushing the clutch in.
Yep.
And working the gas.
Yep. Doing all
and
that.
The brake all with her hands. Well, he's like, yes, let's put it in this gear.
Try another gear. That one didn't work.
Yeah.
And they just go in reverse, just smash into some other guy's car. And like, oh, let's try a different gear.
No big deal. This Rolls Royce can take it.
But another thing, these kids are from England. They do the same accents they did in Mary Poppins because they're English kids. Which I think is another reason why the kids in my class didn't like it. They couldn't tell what the hell the kids were saying most of the time, probably.
Yeah.
If I was in that class, I wouldn't have liked
it. They probably couldn't tell what the prospector was saying either.
That is a given. I couldn't tell what he was saying now.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have put subtitles on that.
And going really back to The Simpsons, have you ever seen the prospector jump up and down about gold?
Oh, yeah, that
That's
guy.
This.
Yep. That happens. That happens.
Yeah.
Except it's about, like, you know, Gnome Tang, as we decided Gnome to
Tang.
Name it.
Yeah, that's... Gnome
Tang!
That was basically the driving force for Jasper, is that there weren't any women to marry, so essentially there was just no Gnome Tang around.
Future for his species. Yeah. So his old gramps, Nobby, is fading away. Because they don't really die. They just decide to gradually fade away.
Yeah, they just decide not to exist. It's like, it's all very melancholy. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I can't do this. Like, it's
like you get to live
nothing's
forever.
Nothing's exciting anymore.
And when they do that, they just start vanishing. It's
death,
so ridiculous.
Death by blasé.
Yeah, basically. But the gnomes do have, like, one cool superpower.
When they disappear, it's called they get all see-through-ish. That's what
see-through-ish.
That was a technical term.
So you're the gnome with the problem.
Tell me what you told me.
Well, instead of that, since seeing is believing with you doodines, follow me.
Come on!
Well, there's my problem. My old grandpa just lies there growing more see-through-ish with every passing hour.
What's making him so see-through-ish?
I'm not an authority on gnomes, but if they're anything like leprechauns, they live on and on. But only if they want to.
You mean they just fade away?
Jasper, have you any idea what made him lose his will to live?
That's gnomish,
aka see-through-ish.
Yeah, when Jasper introduces his grandpa, he tells the humans, "I've got a problem, and here's my problem." And we see the dead body of an old man lying next to him. Like, whoa, your problem is you have to hide this body or what? Yeah. But no, he's not dying.
Don't worry, if people find a bunch of small human bones, they're probably just going to think they're tripping.
Yeah, but he's not dead, he's just lying there trying to die.
All I could think about in that part was, I don't know if you've ever seen the Norm Macdonald stand-up when he talks about
Gnome
digging.
McDonald?
Gnome Macdonald? Gnome Macdonald, when he starts talking about digging a shallow grave.
Norm Macdonald was not in this movie.
No. He starts
but Gnome McDonald may have been.
Gnome McDonald.
Get a lot of gnome names.
David the Gnome was not in this movie.
David the Gnome.
There's no fox.
That was one thing that surprised me as a kid, again, is that the gnomes are just humans. I thought they'd be like Smurf-like creatures.
Yeah, they're basically just very small humans.
But they can jump unbelievably high.
That's like their one superpower, is that they can jump crazy
like
high.
They're like John Carter.
They have like crazy Munzel dust.
To our gravity.
I can't even talk.
Like, they could totally play in the NBA. Just as they are.
Yeah, 1.5 feet tall or whatever. They change their height from scene
to
scene.
Their dunk is insane.
About the jumping thing.
Yeah, whenever it's like a good plot point.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we could just jump out of this. They forget how to jump.
Yeah, when they're like escaping Quaxton's den of horrors.
It was Quaxton. Yeah. We haven't introduced
Quaxton. Oh,
Quaxton.
Horatio Quaxton.
He does not live in Duckburg. Horatio. He is a human.
Yeah, so...
a human caricature, I guess.
The first night, they pick up the gnomes. They're done with their picnic. They pick up the gnomes. They sing the Gnomemobile song.
I thought you were going to sing another song. They're done with their picnic. They pick up the gnomes. They're done with their picnic. They pick up the gnomes.
Gnome.
I'm just writing them all sing-songy. So they
see-through-ish.
They sing their gnome song, their Gnomemobile song, and then they stop in at the Five Cedars, which is a resort hotel in the middle of the woods. Yeah. And right as they park and go in, Quaxton drives up in his wacky car.
The Weirdmobile.
His Weirdmobile, and it's just covered in advertisements about how he has a freak show.
Quaxton's Academy of Freaks, it's called.
Yep.
Yes, not to be confused with Professor Xavier's.
That was the original
school
name.
For gifted children.
So he doesn't actually have any
Quaxton
freaks
Xavier.
With him. He doesn't have any freaks. I think he's just advertising that evening. So he goes into the lobby.
For the freaks that don't exist.
Yeah, he goes into the lobby, and he just starts, like, putting his signage all over everybody else's signage.
Yeah, like when you're on top of a sign.
It's like when you're on a college campus and somebody puts up flyers for a concert and somebody else puts up flyers for some other concert.
But a really nice resort. Yes. Yeah. But a really nice resort.
Yeah.
And so he does that, and as old lumber tycoon grandpa and company are checking in.
Yeah, he's carrying the gnomes in a basket.
Yeah, the gnomes they sit in the picnic basket, which changes size and shape. Yeah.
I mean, we see sometimes the gnomes are almost half as tall as the girl, so they're like 2.5 feet tall. But then two of them fit in this picnic basket.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're like size fluctuates
the scale,
wildly.
Yeah, the scale on this is just non-existent.
They are about the same height as the kids.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, like I think something starts moving, the old stupid fucking knobby. He starts wailing because
some anger. Tell us how you feel about it.
Yeah, I don't even know what
he doesn't understand
that.
What's going on, so he gets all fucking like yelly about it.
Let me out of this basket, goddamn it!
Yeah, he just can't keep it in. And
he doesn't
understand
that he's a goddamn gnome.
Yeah,
and people are gonna steal him.
And he's the one who wanted the younger gnome to never contact the humans.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so now he's the one drawing attention to himself.
It's because they are still in the lobby. They are in the process of getting checked in, and I'm sure they can hear all this because they're in a fucking picnic basket.
Yeah.
And they've literally never heard human voices until like a couple of days ago.
Yeah, so they're getting checked in, and he starts making all this noise.
Grandpa, be quiet.
Let me out!
Grandpa, be quiet!
Smooth, you
connive and double deal,
how
can I settle myself down when I find myself traveling in the very company of the old wolf enemy?
Nobby, that is not so.
Unscrupulous lying prevaricator, getting us to leave our redwood sanctuary under false pretenses. Oh, but he's a scheming one.
He did it for you. We'd rather be in Seattle.
And so the clerk is like, I'm sorry, we don't allow pets. You can't have your dog. And old tycoon says, they're not dogs, they're geese.
Yeah, that was funny.
They're
Abyssinian geese.
They make noises just like humans. Yeah. They're very rare.
So because of this ruckus, Quaxton hears the gnomes and he's like, something's up. Those aren't geese.
A freak worthy of my academy in that basket.
Yeah. So he does some eavesdropping, sleuthing around, realizes that there are gnomes and he has a freak show, so why not grab these freaks? So he steals them.
He's not your normal ethical freak show proprietor.
No. So then the movie for a while becomes about them chasing this Quaxton down.
Quaxton, yeah.
And in the process, this is where, you know, the tycoon calls his underlings, and his underlings are like, we need to put this guy in the psych ward. Yeah. They escape, blah, 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 blah. They go to Quaxton's, which is in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like typical in a horror movie. You go to the carnival when it's all shut down for the night. Yeah,
almost
kind of
like an old mobile home.
And he's not even there. He just has people that he hires to be there.
Yeah. They work for him, I guess.
Caretakers or something.
Yeah. The caretakers of his shack in the woods.
That aren't very loyal. I think he just pays them, but they're not very loyal to him.
Yeah, he doesn't treat his people well.
There is a very interesting shoving match between husband and wife and Grandpa.
Speaking of people who don't get treated very well.
Mm. They just keep like tugging at her.
Tugging at this like woman, this poor woman who hasn't done anything.
Yeah, she's about a 60-year-old woman wearing a bonnet.
Well, first he just like grabs around the neck like a cat and just jerks her over to him and starts asking her questions. Then her husband, not to be one-upped, is like, hey, you give me my wife back, and grabs her by the nape of the neck.
Yeah, anytime either the tycoon or this woman's husband has a question for the woman, they just grab her kind of by the back of her neck.
The scruff of the neck.
And they just jerk her towards them.
Well, this is 1966, so you know.
And what's great,
I guess that's okay.
What's great, it also doesn't make any sense. I have a lot of problems with this movie.
This is a live-action Disney movie. It's not going to make sense.
What doesn't make any sense at fucking all? It doesn't
matter. Herbie the Love Bug doesn't make any sense, Lindsay.
It doesn't matter if
classic.
This is...
It's a total
classic.
It does
not matter if this is a fantasy film. There's no reason for this. So when the tycoon grandpa is done talking to these people that work for Braxton, he writes down
a
number. He gets done talking to Toni Braxton. or her three horrible sisters. To Quaxton's minions. He's done talking to them. He writes down a number and he's like, get me to Braxton. And
Quaxton.
Quaxton. I can't even fucking think straight. He's like, find me Quaxton and this is worth double.
Yeah.
And it's a IOU
for
$5,000.
So obviously he's going to give them $5,000 just for being there, I guess, is what that means. And then if they get Quaxton, he's going to get
$10,000.
Yeah,
if their advice was good, he'll give them $10,000.
Yeah. I don't fucking care.
See, I think it's just that he told them he would give them $10,000, but they only have evidence that he has promised them 5,000. So if they ever try to collect on that, he's only going to give them 5,000.
Because an IOU would stand up
in
court.
Holds up in court now.
Well, yeah, if it has his signature
like
on it.
Country bumpkin
if it has signature. No, I think an IOU would stand up if it has signature on it. I mean, before the institution of like electronic check banking systems.
In Dumb and Dumber it does. So.
You know what? If it's
that
dumb
made
dumber,
more sense than at least 25 other things in the
Yeah, I just
like how the guard dog is not really a guard dog, and it's just a dog that wants to play with.
Yeah,
well, he's a German shepherd, but he's very, very friendly.
No, he's
very
just
friendly.
He's a guard dog that really enjoys his work.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, he's just having a good time.
Tail's wagging the whole time. He's like, sweet, a human's ran out.
There's one guard dog at this.
I got to play with an intruder.
Yeah, there's one guard dog, and he's just the happiest guard dog in the world. His tail just does not stop wagging.
No.
He's just having the
he's
best
having a ball.
Time.
He's just having a ball.
Chasing down people.
Like
down
he does
Gramps.
Eventually bite DJ's, like, I guess, gown they have him wear.
Yeah,
it's
like a robe.
Gown.
It's like some sort of robe.
But I'm pretty sure, like, they had to just, like, soak that in ham. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bit it. Like, he just seems to be, like, joyfully biting it.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
This is so much fun.
It's a delicious robe.
Talking war.
He'd much rather give DJ kisses.
Yeah.
So everybody else thought that...
that's how they get people to stay.
That like, Quaxton was totally going to keep Jasper as a sex slave, right?
Well,
yeah.
Quaxton, yeah. Quaxton had something, some weird thing going on.
He said it was about, you know, like, showing off freaks, but... He was trying to show something.
Yeah, we didn't see any other freaks.
Because the thing is, Quaxton doesn't actually live by where his freak show is. He lives out in the middle, like in a cabin in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, in the woods.
And he has the two gnomes there. But there's no other freaks
doing,
around.
Right? Yeah, this is another horror bizarre. Movie scenario. They're
just
trapped in this cabin in the middle of the woods, and the guy who's abducting them has gone off for a while. When he comes
to get
back,
gnome burgers.
So they have to leave before he comes back.
Wait, now, he does bring back gnome burgers. Now, this raises the question, are gnome burgers burgers for gnomes? Or are they burgers made of gnomes?
Why would he bring them burgers made of gnomes?
Why not?
Why
would he go
anything
bring them
else in this movie?
Gnome burgers?
Is he trying to break their will by forcing them into cannibalism?
Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe he is.
That could be his game.
He was clearly trying to have sex
Look
with
at these
gnome,
freak gnomes eating other gnomes.
Why would he want Jasper as a sex slave?
Maybe it's like the Warren Beatty thing where he jubs the gnome up his butthole.
Look, it's 19... Look,
what?
It's 1966. He's already pretty old. And he's obviously had a fantasy about having sex with a gnome for a very, very long time. You can tell every time you look into his eyes that he's been thinking about that gnome.
Okay, I didn't
throughout
get
his
that.
Life.
I wasn't following his character.
You didn't read
closely.
It that
you
way.
You were looking into his eyes. All you got to do is look into the man's eyes, and you can see everything.
Did you
about
see
him.
Where?
I was focusing on his cigar to see if it ever.
Did you see
being
where he? Did you notice how that cigar was just about gnome size?
Oh.
And did you see where
he clearly does have an oral fixation?
Did you see where he hooked that gnome right in the butt with
then
his.
Proceeded to drag him over, kicking and screaming.
That was during the slapstick fight sequence between Quaxton and the gnome. The gnome jumps on his head a few times.
Yeah, it was like a trampoline scene. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. He played over his head, jumps through a window, and then Quaxton catches him on a fishing line and reels him back into the house.
But
he was doing that very gleefully.
But,
you're right about that.
But Quaxton did have trouble with his hat, as you know those movies.
Also,
old
a semi erection.
Yeah, semi erection. he was tenting the entire time. But he had when Jasper jumped on his hat, there was a moment where Quaxton couldn't get his hat back up over his eye.
It was pushed too down.
Yeah. It's like somebody pulled it down with both hands.
That has never happened in real life, ever. Only in the movies,
Only
guys.
In the movie. Only by
I know
gnomes.
No one deals with hats that much anymore, but...
Everyone in this movie did have hats, though.
Hats were a big thing, I guess, in 67.
A lot of hats.
Still.
Right. This is only a few years after hats stopped being a thing for human males, but the gnome males, everyone has a hat.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have a hat.
Yeah, the gnomes had, like, old-timey miner hats, kind of.
Yeah.
And pilgrim hats.
Prospectory hats.
Yeah, prospectors, pilgrims.
Except for Rufus, because Rufus had a red brimmed hat with a huge quail feather in it.
Yes.
So we should just get to Rufus.
Yeah, because they
escape. Rufus was awesome.
Yeah, they escape Quaxton. Tycoon and Co. Show up and break down the door, and they escape. And so they go into the woods to meet Prospector, who had escaped earlier.
Mm-hmm. Prospector Gnome.
Prospector Gnome had found other gnomes in the woods.
Yeah, he found the gnomes himself without the human itself.
Yeah,
in fact, Quaxton was the one who helped him the most by taking him to this den of horrors that was right near where the other gnomes live.
It's called a gnome brothel.
Wait a minute. What was the one kid who was like, or no, wasn't Jasper like, he's in the forest down.
Yeah, there's a forest down the road.
There's a forest down the road.
They are in a house surrounded by the forest.
Yeah, they're in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah,
so the forest down the road.
Literally a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Like down the road, but, the road they're on.
Yeah, anyway, they meet Jasper. Not Jasper. Jasper meets Rufus.
Rufus, that's right.
Who
Rufus!
Is... Rufus! Go for it.
Rufus. Rufus is just the greatest. Rufus the gnome pimp.
Yeah.
Now, this is Rufus, this is the last role of Ed Wynn's film career. You probably know Ed Wynn from his goofy voice. He was the Mad Hatter in the Alice in Wonderland cartoon.
Yeah. Wasn't he also the...
He was in Mary Poppins. He was the weird uncle who, like, walks on the ceiling.
Wasn't
in that
he the lion in the...
Flying around in that room.
Was he the
no,
lion?
No, that was somebody else.
Sounds like
he does sound like the Cowardly Lion guy.
He does, especially in this role, where he is playing a gnome pimp. And I mean, if there's no ambiguity,
no.
He is a gnome.
No, straight
chain.
Up,
pimp.
Looks like one and functions as one.
You know, he has a like chain that I mean, it's a chain that would put any rap bling to
like
shame.
Like Rick Ross would be ashamed of himself if he saw this dude.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "I need to. I'm not." Big things are not popping.
Nope. And little things, little things are clearly popping.
Yeah,
and like this gnome chain,
popping high ones.
Yeah.
And you know how poppin' a pimp would have like a giant feather in his hat. Well, you know, when you're a gnome, you're smaller than a lot of birds, so you can have a really big feather in your hat compared to the size of your body.
I mean, that's what the feather
has.
Is just like most of his. But I mean, he's got a red trimmed jacket on. I mean, everything is all red.
Yeah,
whole red suit with a cane. He did have, like, I guess a cane or possibly a walking stick, but it had a big rounded edge on the end of it, which is clearly for, you know, keeping his harem in line.
And this is 80-year-old Edwin with a big cotton candy beard glued to his face.
Yeah.
And, I mean, every single smile, wink, and nod he gives to the audience says, you waiting to see my harem, I know it. You're trying to see what kind of girls I got back there.
Yeah, because this whole time Jasper is introduced to Rufus and this whole slew of like old gnomes.
Yeah, Rufus is like, look at all these other gnomes. Look at all these friends I got for you.
Yeah, these old male gnomes, and Jasper's just kind of like,
old male pilgrims.
You know.
Yeah, they look like the pilgrim, you know, the pilgrims at the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So yeah, Jasper's just kind of looking like, wait, like, come on.
Where's the gnome pad?
Where's the babes?
And everybody, like,
come on, I've been having sex with you, Gramps. It's not been very fun. I'm not going to enjoy sex with these guys anymore.
Yeah, the gnomes act like they have no idea what Jasper could even be talking about at all.
Like, they don't understand.
Not even for funsies. They're not doing it just to be like, oh, you mean the ladies? No, they really don't understand.
Yeah, they're like, what?
Like, wait, what do
I
you
don't
mean?
Know.
And so the Dudeens have to point, like, spell it out and be like, he wants some gnome ladies.
Yeah. Rufus, he's talking about girls.
He wants some gnome tang.
And then and then
I think the way they put it in the movie was he wants to get his dick wet. I think that's how the kids said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen well, DeTrees, I'm pretty sure she was like,
that's why this was rated
But sir,
R.
Jasper says he wants to get his dick wet.
Jasper told me he wants to make sure his dick stay wet.
He wants that sweet gnome gash. Yeah.
He's speaking on behalf of his John Thomas. Nobby says, well, Rufus here has more girls than he knows what to do with.
Now, that's
and
true.
Rufus
this is true.
To the audience, like, yes, I seriously do, and I've done everything to him.
Being Rufus ain't easy.
And Rufus has a sweet, like Mike said, he's a master of linguistics and and changing his voice and voices and stuff. And he's got a great, I guess, an accent in this, I guess
kinda.
You would call it.
It's a goofy accent.
Yeah, it's like goofy, and he stutters a lot, and it's kind of comical, but... And then it gets kind of old quick. Yeah. That's the one thing about it.
Yeah.
Much like a lot of this
movie. His
voice
has an affect to it.
That's what Edwin always does. The Mad Hatter and all that other stuff. All
right.
Yeah, but then he brings out, and this is a quote from the movie, the crop of women.
Yeah.
they
rush call.
Out.
It's like,
they
whenever
like
we got a bumper
out.
Crop of women, we got to do this ceremony.
Yeah. And they call them she-males.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're
gnome women are she-males.
Yeah, that's another gnomish word that we don't have in English.
Yeah, like ladyboy, is that what that means?
That's exactly what that
means.
Well,
we certainly didn't see their genitalia, so I assume so.
Lindsay said she did.
No, I said I know what a
she-male
is.
No, that was in Splitting Hairs.
Have you seen porn?
Yeah.
Have you seen porn? Not gnome porn, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You Google she-male, you're not going to see a gnome girl.
What if you Google gnome she-male?
I don't know.
Gnome
Chomsky.
I don't know if I want to Google gnome she-male.
I Googled Al Bundy porn before this episode, so I can find out if you were right about that.
Yeah, that is true.
His famous magazine.
Got it. Nailed it.
But
you were right.
But yeah, so so basically
the chase sequence.
All these
she-males
pop up, and
they're all just a bunch of beautiful actresses who were never in any other movie.
Yeah, all these she-males come out and pop some high ones.
Yep, popping high
for
ones
for Jasper because they're like, ooh, an eligible bachelor, and so he's like, and the weirdest thing, they tell Jasper like, go on, look, pick one out.
Yeah, this was very confusing.
He spends a long time looking at all these women, and Rufus is just like, that one's Primrose, that one's Snapdragon.
He names like 20 of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny.
The padding really starts at the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, like it's kind of funny when he's like, oh, Primrose, Petunia, Violet, And it's funny at first.
Pilot's rather bashful.
Yeah, they point out, you already know that the one that's going to, he's going to get. Because she comes out last, she's kind of stumbles, and she's like, just kind of shy.
Classic Cinderella story.
Basically.
She's the only one with more than moderately dark hair.
And then here's the rub. This is another thing that rubbed me the wrong way. So he lines up these women. He's like, pick one. He's like, just grab one. And then the prospector, his grandfather, uh-huh, is like, just grab one.
Yeah.
Just says, just pick
one. Don't stand there looking, boy, choose one.
Basically. And so he goes around, and then Rufus is like, says, he doesn't choose one.
No, you don't touch the merchandise until you show me some money, baby.
And then.
He doesn't say that.
Oh. And this is where it gets doubly.
I zoned out at certain points.
Yeah, this is where it gets doubly tripling. I can't even talk.
Is we going to complain that Jasper's grandfather doesn't understand the rules of gnome society?
No. Even though that's a problem too, but I have a problem with.
Even though he's a gnome, he's not familiar with the gnome society.
What I have a problem with is Rufus explains, no, the women get to pick, the woman gets to pick the gnome.
The women pick the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the women pick the guy in our society.
Oh, no, you don't.
Then why not? He picked the one he wants.
The one he wants? Oh, my goodness. It's not the male that picks his mate. It's the she-male that picks the date.
Yeah.
But there's only one guy, and there's all these women.
And then he's like, but we're going to have this fucking contest.
Yeah.
And so no, the woman doesn't pick the fucking guy.
Yeah.
All the women have to chase the guy for about half an hour.
And they drop the dude in a bath of foam? I don't know what it was.
They go to a foam party. They drop the dude.
That was like a scene out of The Apple. Yeah. It was like a disco Fantasia psychedelic wonderland.
Yeah, it was like the greased up watermelon.
They go over to the side of the gnome country where there's this foam party going on.
Yep.
Yeah, several of the gnome bachelors throw this guy into the foam, and then he comes out all slippery.
What the foam
apparently is,
I have no idea.
What's the foam?
He's super slippery.
Slippery gnome
super
foam.
Slip.
And they complain about, like the deforestation. I can't imagine pollution is really cool, but where the fuck do they get all this foam from?
That dispersion is not good for the water table.
No, I don't think so.
No, they're not doing their
like
part.
Like a babbling
obviously
stream full of foam.
Goddamn gnomes!
I don't know why they care so much about the forest when they're just fucking it up themselves.
Yeah,
yeah. How high can they get in these trees anyway?
Yeah. Anyway. So this Jasper just slips and slides all over. Jasper starts running from the women in this like Benny Hill style, like just chasing because they're all trying to grab him. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating when I say that this scene goes on for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that was about 14 and a half minutes, way too goddamn long.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Very, very fast.
There's no padding anywhere in the movie except at the end.
It's like
that is really, really padded.
Like they had to meet the quota of 84 minutes, and they were like, well, we got 60.
It's not a movie, guys, until we get 12 more minutes of this goddamn room.
5 minutes to the gnome chase sequence.
Yep. Yeah.
Add 5 more minutes.
Yeah, so the gnome chase sequence is stupid long, and
The less we talk about it, the better. Let's just move on.
It must have cost a lot to film this, because there are all these shots of them swinging around on vines and falling through the air, and
There's a lot of acrobatics at the end.
There's like at least 7
plain
dog piles.
And the thing is, at least.
Dog piles. Yeah, like 7 of them hanging from the same vine and then jumping to another vine.
I guess they're just falling, like getting wet.
And I have to say that as much as I lament the fact that this didn't take place in the gnome world more, I guess this scene is, it's kind of...
The gnome world is boring and repetitive.
It makes me actually kind of glad they didn't spend more time there because it's awful. It's awful.
It was. I mean, yeah, besides the gnome pimp, it just kind of disintegrates.
And, I mean, not that you need to guess. Violet's the one who ended up holding this. Yeah. The rule was the woman who caught him had to hold him for 7 seconds.
7 seconds. Yeah.
7 seconds.
Which, so they
by the way,
counting
is like as variable as ever.
Yeah, Rufus just counts
going,
what he wants. Like
yeah, we're going by Rufus. We're going by Rufus's count, and that guy can barely even count.
He can't. He asked.
Can't.
What comes
he even
after
asked.
Five?
Yeah, he didn't know what came after five.
He's an idiot, but
yeah, like,
I mean,
he, do this
he has
all
a
the
strong
time?
Pimp hand. So.
Yeah. You'd think he'd be a pro at this.
He controls all these women and their fate, and he decides who they marry.
Yeah, he doesn't need to know numbers for that.
He's getting paid in anything. What is he getting paid
in? Who knows?
Gnome
shekels.
Tang.
Probably shekels.
Shekels. Shekels probably is universal.
I don't think they have any sort of gnome
crowns
currency.
Usually crowns is the currency in Fantasy Kingdoms.
Rupees?
Well, Quaxton tried to offer Jasper Florence money. Like, gnomes take money that's bigger than them.
Yeah. Here's a quarter,
like,
gnome.
We're going to split $1 million together,
oh,
you
yeah,
and gnome.
Great.
Yeah. Speaking of money, there was also the scene at the gas station where the grandpa turns to the children and says, hey, kids, how much money you got? So they can pay the gas station attendant
for and it's
for the
like
gas.
It's like 80 cents.
Yeah, and they get 2 gallons of gas.
37 cents.
Yeah, they drive off the underlings when there's a chase scene.
Yeah, the underlings are chasing the old guy because the underlings think he belongs in the mental house.
They end up at the same gas station.
No resolution with that plot, by the way.
Yeah.
No.
They're in the middle of filling up on gas and just drive off because they see Grandpa Tycoon. And they drive off, and just the gas keeps like just
The underling drives off with the gas pump. What's it called? The hose attached to the car.
So there's just gas like shooting everywhere, and you see the
the gas pump attendant is really really sad that this is happening.
Yeah, and you see the amount of gas,
so
like it's ticking up. You can see the dollar amount ticking up,
and he's
26 gallons for like $5.70.
Why is this happening? Why is this happening? $5 of gas is going to waste,
and we were all bummed.
Yeah,
oh my god,
it was super sad.
Put you in a perspective.
I'm gonna have to. Fill up my tank on the way home, and I'm not looking forward to that.
Terrible.
So,
and that's basically the end of the movie.
That's
the movie.
Gas used to be cheap. That's the moral of the story. Gas was cheaper back then.
Violet snags Jasper. They get in the gnomobile and they sing the gnomobile song.
Yeah, everybody gets in. All the gnomes get in the gnomobile because
DJ offers to take them.
Yep.
He's like, everyone who wants to go with me, get in the gnomobile.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you 50,000 acres.
Yeah, he decides to like set up like a Homestead Act type policy where he gives them each some land so they can raise a family on it to populate the forest
with
gnomes.
Honestly,
and repent for his
do those gnomes need 50,000 acres?
No. Those gnomes could live on like 2 acres.
That is excessive.
There must be, who knows how many millions of gnomes there are.
Unless, what do you think their litter is? Do you think they have like one baby, like normal
litter,
or do they have like 8 or 10 babies?
Oh boy,
maybe.
maybe they have a parthenogenesis, like lizards and.
Well, it almost seems like they probably do have a litter, and it's probably like 5 males every 1 female.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That seems
and
good.
Usually, the males are like 8 years
older.
They
talk about a crop of women, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you get a crop of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, much like in The Quest, it seemed like the Gnome Society was all like really young women and really old men.
Yeah, much like the Smurfs.
And the thing about these young women is, like, you see, this was filmed in, like, 1966 or maybe 67 in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just got these, like, beauty queens together to be in this movie.
Well, yeah, it's
so
like
now that I'm
next
looking at
Hollywood.
It as, like, an adult, I'm thinking, no, these are probably, like, all, like, hippie chicks, you know?
Uh-huh.
All,
that's
you know,
possible.
Doing drugs between shoots and things like that.
This probably. Would be a very certainly. Interesting behind-the-scenes take. Like, if there was a documentary on making the Gnomobile, I bet that would be brilliant.
So I bet that little boy was parting with them the entire
time. That kid was getting sloshed.
Like, who are these extras? Where do they find these people?
They were probably
on
just relatives.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, I got some LSD in a car. You want to come up north with me?
Yeah. Want to make a five?
Yeah, but basically on the streets of Berkeley and in the bedrooms of producers. That's
that's
where they were found.
Yeah, I don't think any of them went on to actually be actresses at all. Even the one who played Violet, who actually had a line.
Yeah, I mean, some of them might have, like, birthed.
The line may have been,
actresses.
Like, Jasper. But.
She also said, like, grab my hand.
Yeah,
she did.
Doing the trapeze act.
By the way, how's this do with the Bechdel test?
Oh, man. Not hardly.
I think the woman grabbing scene was pretty good. I think
that was pretty good.
It was a scene when that lady
technically,
told the young girl to go to bed.
Yeah, and the girls technically picked the guy, so that's something.
they communicate non-verbally with each other. They just push each other out of the way.
But there was the slight abuse of the Quaxton lady.
There was that.
There was that.
I'm going to say that a mother figure telling like a young young child go to bed does not count as a conversation.
Oh, really?
That's not a conversation between two women.
Hollow
I'm
Point
not even
is
sure,
still the only one that's passed.
Not even sure if that's a named woman.
No, I don't think it is.
No,
she reminded me of a female Dustin Hoffman.
with
a slightly bigger nose.
She looked to me like the landlord from Kingpin.
Yeah.
There are like two named women. Violet, who you meet in the last 14 minutes
two
of the
lines.
Movie.
And Elizabeth, the young girl.
Yes.
Yeah. The Mary Poppins girl.
Yeah, the only kid who wasn't drunk.
Yeah, so this boy and girl team were in Mary Poppins together. They were in a different Disney movie before Mary Poppins, and they were in this together. So they were actually good friends,
career,
apparently.
Basically.
Yeah.
She went on to do other stuff. He really didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he went on to
He died
away.
Young, unfortunately.
Yes.
He went on to get tetanus or get hepatitis in another country and then die.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Wah, wah.
That's
so we're doing this podcast in his honor.
In memory of
the late Leonard Nimoy and what's his name? Matthew Garber.
There you go.
Sorry, Matthew Garber.
Sorry you died.
This
rest
is one of your best movies.
I actually thought he died of cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis of the liver?
Yeah.
It could have
jaundice.
It probably was complicated the hepatitis.
Okay, it could enough have, about mean. The young people dying.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys think of the song? Catchy, no?
It was
very,
very
catchy.
We sang it more than once.
Yeah.
So.
We sang it more than once in the movie, too.
Yeah,
they sing this song, what, 3-4 times?
Well, first, the old grandpa sings it in the form of, my jaunting car, jogging along in my jaunting car. was apparently a car he had when he was growing up in Ireland.
That had one horsepower?
Yeah, one HP, buddy.
He said it was the Maserati of its day.
Yeah. And it was a hit with all the ladies, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Panty dropper.
And then it becomes the Gnomobile song. And when the Gnomobile song started, I remembered another reason I liked it as a kid, which is that it's one of those songs where like the characters are supposedly like trying to think up the lyrics as they're singing it.
Yeah.
And they're like scrunching up their faces, like, what can I say next?
It felt natural.
Yeah, it really did. They pulled it off really well. I was surprised.
Yeah, I thought, you know, for a very, you know, not very well-known live-action Disney movie, this music was very good. I mean, there wasn't a lot of it, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, they only had the right one song.
Yeah,
so
there was that cool...
But, you know, they had to ad-lib a lot, and it was good.
There was that jazz chase number during the chase scene.
Oh, yeah.
The clarinet solo, I think
it was. It was scored well. I think
it really wasn't
was scored
bad.
Well. I mean,
yeah, it was pretty
big
classic, budget, I guess.
It's your classic Disney score.
Yeah.
It's your standard, but it's done well.
They don't cheap out on that. That's one thing they don't cheap out on.
During the harem chase scene, there's also, like, you know, very fluttery, you know, woodsy music that also just, it's very nice.
As, like, cheesy as, like, the special effects were, and they were.
But it's also 1967.
It's 1967, and you know that Disney was, doing the best job of the day.
Yes.
Like, they were doing a really good job for the time. It's just cheesy by today's standards.
Kids probably saw that and were like, what?
Yeah, it was probably crazy.
You see a car jump like a broken bridge? My God, back then, that was probably the equivalent of, like, our Fast and Furious.
Yeah, back then, you'd be like, wee!
I think the way they did that was they just took the film and removed part of the ground, so it looked like a broken bridge.
That's probably what they just put. There are a lot of painted backgrounds. I mean, it's Disney in the 60s, you know? A lot of painted backgrounds, a lot of, like...
Some of the shots look painted. Yeah. Like, it looks like they're actually just walking around and moving paintings.
The establishing shot...
Those trees were real.
The establishing shot of the big office building being a painting was weird. Didn't they just get a big shot of an office building?
Well, yeah, they did. Or, no, just the painting.
Yeah.
But then they'd have to put
the Muldooney Lumber Company building.
Yeah, but then they'd have to put Muldooney up there somehow. That's too much work.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And why, when you got, like, you know, a bunch of artists...
Yeah, exactly. We just pay someone minimum wage to draw a building.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. So do we all have a best moment for the movie?
I think we kind of covered it.
Yeah.
Covered
throughout.
I think we covered all the movie.
Yeah. Do you want to go through ranks?
Yeah.
I'll do my rank first.
Got it.
Do it.
All right. So at the top, I have Hollow Point, then Final Mission, then Frozen Assets, and then coming in at fourth place is the Gnomobile.
Okay.
It is getting above Splitting Hairs and Running Out of Luck, which is, again, in its own category.
And
it's
Russian
not the bottom. It's just
Where's Russian Terminator?
Yeah, we should have that. You should put that in there, too.
Oh, yeah. And Russian Terminator. Russian Terminator, for me, would be right below Hollow Point because it is just amazing.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Okay.
Can't get enough of those ninjas.
I can go. I'm going to...
Straight to the top?
Russian Ninja is going up top, man.
Oh, all right.
That movie was special to me.
a controversial decision.
It is. It just put me in a place that none of these other movies have put me into.
All right.
A place called Denmark.
Yeah, a place called Denmark. Ameri-Denmark. So up top is Russian Terminator, followed by Hollow Point, then Frozen Assets, Final Mission, Society, Running Out of Luck.
Wait, where's the Gnomobile?
Splitting Hairs.
No, wait.
Below Splitting Hairs?
The Gnomobile and The Quest.
Oh, good luck.
Well, it's at least above The Quest.
I'll go next.
It was, and I have to say, it's mostly due to, like, the audio issues. I had a really hard time paying attention because
it
hurt my brain.
This VHS looked like it hadn't been played hardly at all.
Yeah, and it might have been just a VHS.
I don't think it was a VHS.
It was bad quality for some reason.
The sound quality was bad.
Yeah. All right. I'll go. I had
people couldn't be bothered to care.
So at the top, I had Final Mission. Next was Society, then Russian Terminator, Hollow Point, Running Out of Luck, the Gnomobile, and then Splitting Hairs and The Quest.
Okay.
Gnomobile, mostly just because of that catchy song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
And up until that ending scene, I really, it wasn't too bad. I didn't feel like an eternity like sometimes The Quest did.
Yeah, but then it did at the end.
Yeah, but the last... If it wasn't for that, it might have jumped ahead of Running Out of Luck.
Yeah, the fact that it just dragged at the end put it down for me. It's in my top half.
Oh, that's
because I have it at fourth after Hollow Point, Society, and Final Mission, and then it's better than The Quest. It's better than Russian Terminator. I just think there's tons of movies out there very similar to Russian Terminator.
Boo!
You know, I'm all about people having their own opinions and respecting that. But
you have Frozen Assets number two.
You chose Splitting Hairs.
And The Quest.
And The Quest.
And The Quest.
You said, you guys, this movie, Splitting Hairs. I remember it when I was a kid. It's nothing but naked women.
I didn't say nothing but naked women. I said that there are booby tassels in it. I said that Rick Moranis is in it and booby tassels are in it.
Yeah,
but you forgot butt tassels.
I did forget the
butt
tassels.
Yeah, cheeks.
You also
butt
forgot
cheeks.
Balls.
Yeah, balls. I forgot the balls.
So Russian Terminator comes after The Quest, and but Russian Terminator was better than Running Out of Luck and your two crappy movies.
Oh, face.
Check out our rankings online.
All right.
Well, on that incredibly awkward note.
Yeah.
All things end awkwardly. Otherwise, they wouldn't end.
Yeah. What?
Isn't that a famous saying?
No.
Yeah, it's famous by you.
Yeah, it's someone,
famous
does someone post that on their MySpace?
It's a famous saying. It's all things end badly. Otherwise, they wouldn't end.
No.
I'm sure that's a famous saying. I'll look it up.
I think what the boy's trying to say is, are there any girl gnomes?
Well, of course. How stupid of me. Rufus here has more girl gnomes. He knows what to do with. Right, Rufus?
Oh, well, you know I have. My goodness. I've all got girls. I got big girls. You know, I really mean big ones. And little girls, if you want little ones. I got medium-sized ones. And I got girls. I've got some... I'll show you. Girls! Girls! Come on out, girls! The eligible gnome is here!